Adam Haynes, the owner and operator of Haynes Physical Therapy. It's North Main in Canton. We'll be talking today a little bit about a joint replacement and what to expect out of that. And Adam, I think we talked a bit about off the air about 5 months now, business-wise, and people starting to know where you're located and what your service provides and those type of things. It's a journey, all right? I mean, it's one of those things that kind of falls into place, and suddenly, even though you continue to work hard and those type of things to provide a service like this, and how's that kind of the journey been for the last 5 months there for you?
Right. It's been really, really great. I have to say I've been very blessed, and I kind of said from the beginning I wasn't super worried about how it started, but more in the longevity and the sustainability of the business. And to be perfectly honest, as a small business owner, I think, you know, it's hard not to think or wonder, you know, what the future might hold. And I catch myself in that every once in a while, but I have to always kind of return to the general idea that really it's all about service and taking care of the people that you have and giving them your very best, and that in the end that it will work out, and God will honor that kind of behavior, and that your business will succeed. And I think I'm starting to see that, where, you know, there's some good word of mouth in the community with patients that I've had, and I just kind of can really just hope for that continues, and I can kind of, I feel like that's kind of the right way to try to build
Absolutely.
A business is
yeah.
through that. So
when we talk about today, joint replacement, is this quite frequent? Do you get a lot of these type of things, and is it maybe on the increase, and what kind of age group are we talking about joint replacement?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, everybody knows that the baby boomers are getting kind of to the age where you know, some kind of things from developmentally over time start to happen, like arthritis and you know, maybe some cardiopulmonary heart failure and things like that start to come about with the aging process. And you know, arthritis is a big one. And really, you know, there's no cure for arthritis. They keep working on that and trying to find out ways to improve cartilage regeneration and things. But nobody has really come up with a definitive, you know, answer for that. So replacement kind of becomes an option for people after they've struggled for a while. And I think generally speaking, you know, they start to consider replacements after 60 years old, because the life of a replacement is, some of the new studies have shown that a knee replacement, for example, can last 20 years, which is good news, because even 5 years ago, it was more like 10 to 15 years. So really, most surgeons don't look at replacement as an option in the 50s, because they don't want to have to automatically do a revision of that replacement, you know, in 10 or 15 years. So they want it to last the rest of your life if possible. So, you know, in the 60s and 70s, I think, is the most mm-hmm. common age group for that.
Well, what's kind of the first step towards any kind of a consultation, no doubt, in the joint replacement? What are the kind of the other steps as we kind of get into this a little bit?
Sure. Well, I mean, first off, I think if you've had an injury in the past in a joint, let's say a knee, where you've had maybe some cartilage surgery, maybe an arthroscopic surgery or an injury, you know, maybe even as an athlete in high school or as a younger person, those joints, are more precluded to developing arthritis faster. But otherwise, just normal degeneration of cartilage can occur, and a lot of times it doesn't differentiate between sides. So a lot of times people have, if they have bad knees, it's usually both of them. One might be a little worse than another. But, you know, you'll go to your doctor, and most doctors will kind of go through a process of looking at all the factors included, like how old you are and how bad your pain is, how much pain management they're having to do. You know, what your functional or activity level still is, or is it significantly limited by your joint pain? And then taking an x-ray and looking at the condition of the joint, how much degeneration is there, how much cartilage loss is there. Kind of those variables will guide them to collectively make a decision about conservative management or surgical management.
Is the priority usually age? Does that determine the lots in which direction and other options that we'll get into a little bit here?
Sure, it can. It can definitely, but I think even more so than age is really functional level, because you know, there's such a variance in individual from even activity level. I've seen some very active 80-year-olds and mm-hmm. some, on the contrary, some that are really debilitated at 60. So it really is more of an activity and functional level. They will, you know, consider joint replacements even into the early 90s if a patient is active and healthy. So a lot of it depends on that. And most surgeons, if it's an option, they will consider conservative measures first before they go to surgery.
We talk a little bit about today with Adam Haynes, the owner and operator of the Haynes Physical Therapy, North Main in Canton. They are open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. till 3 p.m. He's with us once a month. And one of the things that when you talk about this, about your options and various things, when do you become involved in this process in regards to it with the doctor, the surgery portion of that? Where do you kind of fit
sure,
into that?
Sure. Well, like I said, a lot of times a conservative approach may be the initial approach, and that's where we come into play. And conservative management of a bad joint a lot of times will involve a cortisone injection or the potential of a cortisone mm-hmm. injection, or even a series of injections every 3 or 4 months. But then some type of therapy. And I often kind of tell people that there's basically two types of stability of a joint. There's the static structures, or the non-moving structures, and then the dynamic structures, which would be like the muscles that surround a joint. And traditionally, kind of speaking, the static structures would be like the ligaments and the cartilage of the joint. And those are don't really have very good blood supply, and therefore don't really do a lot of healing on their own. So they kind of are what they are in general. But the dynamic structures do. So if you have a weak joint and weak static structures like bad cartilage, sometimes you can really improve your function and your pain management by increasing the strength around those joints, which is kind of where we come into play. And then also we have some modalities like ultrasound and electrical stimulation of a joint that can help to manage pain and improve blood flow to the joint kind of in the interim. So mm-hmm. depending on the person, you can stave off surgery for a long time conservatively.
Well, we talk about the number of injections, and again, they are limited, right? So there's so many per year, correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, cortisone is the typical injection, and it's a local joint anti-inflammatory, and it can do great things for a lot of folks, but it does have its side effects. It can cause some tissue damage if it's given too frequently. Mm-hmm. And there's not just a absolute rule, and a lot of the doctors kind of vary in their approach with it. But for the most part, they won't give any more than four injections total in a joint. Some of them will rotate up to every 3 months, and some of them push it out more to like every 6 months. And part of that depends on how effective each injection is. And a lot of them will adjunct those injections with a conservative treatment like a therapy to try to strengthen the joint as well. And so that they're kind of trying to do everything they can to strengthen mm-hmm. that joint, take some of the pressure off the cartilage.
Also, I guess you must be aware of, again, it could increase for a diabetic too, right? I mean, there's some issues there it could have developed.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, a diabetic has a risk with cortisone injections of increased blood sugar. So it's not that they won't do injections for diabetics. It's just something that they have to watch a little extra carefully. And they will encourage, you know, diabetics to really monitor their blood sugars after the injections.
You mentioned about the injections. What about also pre-surgical physical therapy? What would we mean by that?
That would be, you know, basically, like I said, trying to improve the dynamic stability of the joint, mm-hmm. trying to manage pain potentially with ultrasound or electrical stimulation to try to improve blood flow in the joint and keep the tissue that you have remaining there as healthy as possible. And just generally speaking, there's a lot of physiological ways to eliminate force through cartilage. And so it's kind of, there's some education involved, and there's some training and strengthening to try to kind of take pressure off that static structure that really in and of itself probably isn't going to change that much. But some people, you know, are just on the threshold of pain where conservative management can really almost help them to be pain-free for a while. So it's really where most surgeons will, unless the joint just looks really, really bad on an X-ray, they will want to exhaust their conservative approach.
I'd say this is one area that it really does vary dramatically from patient to patient.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, for sure.
When you look at it, then you looked over all of the options, and next comes the surgery. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the different steps in regards to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, there's just a few joints that are you know, joint replacement options, and that would be the hip, the knee, and the shoulder. And the shoulder is a less common replacement. It's a tougher surgery and recovery, and so I think more focus is probably on the knees and the hips. And generally speaking, you can expect a hospitalization from anywhere from 2 to 4, maybe even 5 days. A lot of that is considering, you know, what your functional level is like and what your pain management is like, acutely right after the surgery. And then, you know, within the first 24 hours, you're going to have a therapist in the inpatient setting come in and try to get you up and taking your first few steps. And, you know, you'll probably be like on a walker for maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on your functional level and your pain management. Then, of course, outpatient therapy after you've been discharged from the hospital.
How do patients react to dealing with therapy? Are they easy to follow through with this, or is it a little process that you have to kind of ease them into it and try to find certain ways to kind of enhance the process there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've often said that therapy is kind of a combination of an art and a science. And there's kind of an art and just a psychological component. You know, when you have pain, it's sometimes can cause you to be very constrained and apprehensive about what you're doing. And so there is not enough can be said about the level of trust that you share with your therapist, mm-hmm. who's trying to, you know, manipulate your tissue and stretch tissue and strengthen things that are sore and painful. Really that trust and is just key to the development and progress. And so there is definitely a psychological component to it. Some folks just in nature deal with more pain mm-hmm. post-surgically than others, and I think it would be very insensitive of a therapist to not consider that and try to, basically my approach is to try to maximize gain within a level of comfort. You know, I don't believe that it's no pain, no gain by mm-hmm. any means. It's definitely something where you have to be artful about and considerate about how you progress a patient and how hard you push them. And, you want people to understand that, it's going to take a little effort. It's going to take a little bit of, potentially a little bit of discomfort, but at the same token, it's worth it in the mm-hmm. end. And there has to be that level of trust between a patient and their therapist. For sure.
What sort of therapy would this process include? Some walking, flat surfaces, stairs? I mean, what sort of process is there as well?
Yeah, generally speaking, I think part of the initial assessment is figuring out what people's prior level of function was and what their maybe job requirements were or what their hobbies are. Some people are very active, and so you have to be a little bit more aggressive as they improve with things like stairs or rough surfaces or balance activities or climbing or whatever it might be. Others are more basic in their functional levels, just managing around the home and simple flat surfaces. But in general, I mean, it's the same for pretty much all of the folks, and that is that you'll want to focus on returning their tissue to good health and good freedom of movement, improving their mobility level from what it was prior, their walking and their household and community mobility, and their balance and their strength and all those things. And so it's a process, of starting with the simpler tasks and kind of progressing as a patient progresses and as your pain is better controlled, and starting with a focus more on range of motion and then eventually focusing on kind of really higher level stability and balance. And
What sort of time period do you have for follow-up on a lot of these who go through these, and then you have your therapy and everything that comes out of this? What sort of your timetable to say, we no longer need to be coming and those type of things?
Right. Well, again, that is a little bit case by case, but I think an average length of time is probably between 6 and 8 weeks. And then, you can anticipate that, for example, with a knee replacement, that most folks would be able to do most functional tasks at around 3 months after their surgery. And therapy might be done a little bit before that even. But it kind of depends on, patient's functional requirements, how long we go and how they're progressing, what their range of motion and what their pain level is. But generally speaking, most people are back to pretty good levels of function by 3 months, and certainly by 6 months to a year, pretty much able to meet their goals of whatever activity they want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What sort of clientele are you getting now? What sort of case type of things, or the norm, I guess, for these particular things right in our area right now?
Yeah, I mean, for me particularly, I have a pretty wide range of diagnoses, and I've had some joint replacements and some pre-surgical joints, neck and back pain, some upper extremity shoulder pain, and I've had some younger kids, and I would say the majority of the population, which is pretty consistent with therapy across the board, is older population, just because there's a lot more degenerative things and complications that can come along as you age. And I think the most important thing that I can kind of share with that population is that, just because you're aging, doesn't mean that you can't regain your function and your quality of life can't be what you kind of idealize. And so I think some people chalk it off to aging and say, I'm just not gonna be active. I'm not gonna do because.
Well, I'm just gonna sit here and just be in the chair, right?
Yeah. And I don't think you have to accept that. I think I think there's dynamically your muscles can always improve regardless of your age, and there's no reason to sit at home and deal with pain or wonder if anybody can help. I think it's worth an assessment and worth spending some time, kind of evaluating your circumstances and seeing if somebody can help you get your life back.
Absolutely. Sure. What's your kind of take on the Cardinals? This is kind of off the usual topic, but with the Cardinals finish here last night was a huge game last night, but a little scary moment in the outfield, right?
So yeah, that was. And I played a lot of ball when I was younger, and I've been a part of a couple of scary situations in games like that. There's those moments of just you're unsure what the outcome will be. And Piscotty got hit hard last night, and he was out cold. And so, I can imagine that those players had a lot of thoughts going through their mind from maybe. Did something to a spinal cord or head injury or whatnot, but kind of the initial reports I think seemed to be positive for him. So that's a blessing. But I'm excited about the Cardinals, and I'm sure Cub fans are excited about the Cubs. Boy, I wouldn't want to face the Cubs in a one-game series the way Arrieta's been pitching.
Yeah, and that could come down to that. So,
yeah,
I'd imagine your professions with the Cardinal team would be making a fortune right now, right? With the third.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
With the number of people it's been.
Their rehab staff has been busy. That's for sure.
Absolutely, Adam. Always good to see you, and thanks for the insight today on joint replacement.
Thank you very much.
More coming up as we continue right here on the morning show.